Send forth is the message for this continuing series on Evangelism 2020. We begin by speaking about the work of evangelism, giving the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, that it is hard work, that it is heart work, and it's a Holy Spirit-led work. And Jesus sets the example, and now he calls his disciples in a step-by-step basis to go out. Now, during our prayer meeting, we have that message from the Lord who met his inner group of disciples when he said to them, "I will make you fishers of men." Now, then they began to follow the Lord. And you see, in our journey of faith, when we begin our spiritual life following the Lord, that following, that work, that life with God begins with them simply observing, following what the Lord is doing. Right? But you would soon find out, right, as it is now, that the Lord will now show them, right, they are to do likewise. In other words, the Lord went about seeking for lost souls and healed them. And they were among those who were healed. They were among those who were lost and was found. They were the ones who God has blessed, right, with his presence to cheer, to comfort, to guide, to strengthen. And now that they have spent time with the Lord and they have partaken of the goodness of God, that life with God, now the Lord says to them that they are to likewise share that blessing. Share that blessing. And that is why you would see that the Lord is slowly showing them how they must do their part. Right? And, you know, initially the Lord doesn't say anything of that sort to them. Jesus didn't say to them that they have to go and evangelize. Right? He says, "I will make you fishers of men." But he did not explain to them what it means. They said, "Follow him." But now he's saying to them that they are to go out. Right? Verse 5 says, "And these 12 Jesus sent forth, and Jesus commanded them." They were the first ambassadors for the Lord. Right? Jesus showed us what is a true life with God. What is a true Christian life? Right? He painted it in the Beatitudes. He painted it in the Sermon on the Mount. And he said to them that they are to be light and salt in a decaying, dark, and godless world. And the world, the way to change the world is to permeate it with godliness, with righteousness, the way of righteousness and holiness, and affect it from inside out by the lives of these changed lives. In other words, God seeks that his disciples, that Jesus sought that his disciples' life would change. And he has to show them, set the example, show them. That's why we are told to study the Gospels. Study the life of Christ. Then we would know what is our mission in life. And when we are connected to God and his mission, that's where we are functioning the way that God wants us to function. Right? Jesus preached less than 3 years in the remote Palestine. He had many disciples. And, you know, it is said that during the time of the Roman Empire, there are 300 major roads throughout the empire. And there is a poet who says that Rome had made one city where once was a world. Right? What he says is that because God has, through in the fullness of time, through the Roman engineers, built so many roads that reach out to all the nations there, that the gospel can move through these roads that has been opened through the Romans. You see, so we said, right, the entire Roman Empire became a seed bed of the Christianity. That means of the faith. God opened the way. You see, God placed us here and nurtured us these 5-6 years for a reason, you know. God didn't bring us here and nurture us over the last few years and, you know, that we are to sit here, continue like that. No. God wants us to multiply. You see, and that's why He has to slowly instruct His disciples and send them forth to do this work. And that is why we say to you that, you know, we would encourage you to sign up, right? 215 to 245. So I've here the first quarter of the year, 2020. January, February, and March. And every week is listed there. Okay? And I would like you to pray, then prayerfully set time to go out. Go out. 13 weeks, if we can make it 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, signed up. Why? Because this is the Lord's mission for us. And unless you are embarked on that work that the Lord has called us to do, we are not functioning the way that the Lord would want us to function. In other words, you know, we are still in the comforts of our corner, and we are not fulfilling the role that God has for us to fulfill. Right? His disciples, this bunch of them, He has called to follow Him, but He has a work for them to do. Right? And how can we learn how to evangelize if we would not go? So here you see the Lord said, He called the 12 and He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. God is using His disciples to send them forth to do His work. And God is sending you forth. The Great Commission is beginning to be taught to the people that they have a role. And they are to play that role. We begin, and we, you know, in the sense we set the example to do the work. But the work cannot continue. Jesus alone, going about all the cities and villages, He cannot cover the entire Roman Empire, you know. God is going to use the energized disciples who love God, who want to serve Him, to do this work. And you know, within a short period of time, the entire Roman Empire was on fire. with the gospel. Because the Christians were energized, the Spirit of God came upon them. And I can tell you, over the last 1.5 months or so, God has energized at least 4 persons. They come to me and said, I want to go about this work. Ah, I was so happy that God has, by His Holy Spirit, has initiated. And so as I read the Gospels, as I go through the Gospels, as we study, we realize that God gave the disciples time to grow, to observe, to see. But then there is a time to go. And so the Lord is saying to us that there is a divine commission that is entrusted to us, and He will give you divine capability and divine commissariat. The word commissariat means divine resources, divine provision. And He would provide to you also the divine criteria, the criterion, how to go about this work. He's going to send you forth, and I'm saying to you that, you know, signed up, write your name and pray and make a commitment that you would do something. In other words, you would take the track and you would go. Not only on Sunday, we have our Wednesday Bible study. Before the Bible study, you can have your tracks and you can pick it up on Sunday, and on Wednesday you can come. If you come earlier, you can go and give out. Go to the bus stop, go to the MRT, and go and give it out to somebody. You see, that is when you realize that you are, in a sense, sowing the seed. Right? Sowing the seed. Now, of course, sowing the seed begins at home. So I say to you that as you go about doing this, don't forget that you need to begin in your home to sow that seed in your home. All right? The people living with you, are you sharing the word with them? Are you giving them something? Are you speaking about your spiritual life? And I can tell you that when this thing begins, division will come. But as you read Matthew chapter 10, you would find that if we love God, put God first, and you allow the will of God to be done, then, you know, you are willing to bear and willing to serve and willing to do, right, the will of the Father. And God wants you to do that will. How important it is that you would do the will of God, of the Father. And so I say to you that we need to serious up. We cannot go on, right? We said living a life, a Christian life, kidding ourselves means that, you know, we are not really very serious and committed. We just give a little bit, do a little bit, not a whole heart. Well, we can see that the Lord knows, and the Lord is pained by these things, but the Lord wants us, His people, to not carry on like that. So, you know, we have placed here 3 sheets, January, February, March, and we ask you right, to come earlier, and then put down, and we will give you a place whereby you can do that. Right? So before that, we will show you where you can go. Okay, whether you are outside, whether you take one stop down, take one stop up, we would give you something. Right. What did the Lord Jesus do? Well, he sent them forth. Verse 5 says, and these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So God began by asking them, don't go very far. So we are saying to you, don't go very far. Nearby. All right, nearby. Okay? Nearby, do this first. Don't go very far. All right? In the church setting, we said, go to the MRT, go nearby here, begin here. All right? We will set the map with the blocks. All right, then you can go. But begin like that first. All right? So, first 3 months, sign up. Sign up. If you can do 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, sign up. All right? There are people who have begun. Every week they are doing. Every week this. Go. Let's go. Every week we go. Why? Well, somehow the Lord has placed that burden in the heart. Irresistible, as we said, to do something for the Lord. And here, verse 7 says, as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So the Lord has allowed us to print invitation cards, print different types of tracts, and we put them into a tract packed. And we are asking you to go and give it to someone. Give it to someone. Provide neither gold nor silver, brass or scrip for your journey, neither 2 coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. In other words, he says to them, go. The harvest is plenteous. There's work for you to do. And you are to go trusting the Lord's provision. Trusting the Lord to help you. Right? God will send you forth. God is sending you forth now. And you are to go and seek the lost sheep. Right? Bringing them back to the true shepherd. So you give them the gospel. And you know, if you won't go, who else will go? And so I'm saying to you that you have a primary responsibility, and Lord is giving to you this work and saying to you, right, that you go. So we said that you go, but within this confines, this premises, this area, huh? Then at home, go to your loved ones. Go to the people around you and talk to them. Begin. Right? You'll find that's the toughest thing to do. Right? But that's where we must begin. Okay? And that's where we will break the ice, in a sense that, you know, then you'll find that that's where we are doing a real work, right? Real work, in the sense that that's where these are the people that matters most to us. These are the people that, you know, matters most to God. Because when He saves you, He has a purpose to save the rest of your family also, you see. And He will use you, right? Initially, after you are saved, you take time to grow in the faith. You get to know God. to know Him better. You have to experience the goodness of God. You get to experience the faithfulness of God, the blessings of God, how He answers your prayer. Remember? All right? How we ask God for good weather and God gives us good weather. God pray for safety. God grant to us safety to help us. How God answers our prayer. Wow. This moving the heavens, you know. Right? In the sense that God allow our petitions to be heard and answered. And so now the Lord is saying to us that the real purpose is for the souls around you. And the Lord is saying to you, right, to reach out to them. Right? So if you have an elderly parent, elderly brothers and sisters, friends around you, well, bring them to church. Take time for them. Speak to them concerning the gospel. Pray that the Lord would use you. And here is they were sent forth. And verse 11 says, "And into whatsoever city ye shall, or town ye shall enter, inquire who is in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence." So what he's saying is this, that, you know, you have to open your eyes to see who are those whom God has already prepared the heart to receive the gospel. God has prepared certain people in that city. Go to them and talk to them. Christians, perhaps they are already Christians, or they are not, but God has prepared their hearts. Go there first. You see? That's how the Lord operates. He has these in these cities, and He wants you to pray before you go, so that you'll be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You remember last week we spoke about the Ethiopian eunuch and how Philip was asked to go and go near the chariot, and the Ethiopian eunuch was reading the portion of Isaiah just in time, just nice, you know, just nice. And so when he was reading, Philip was asked to go near, and what was Philip to do? Explain to him. Who is this person that he was talking about? If this is the Christ, then make him known. And you see how that man from Africa was gloriously saved. So the Lord wants us to be much prayer, you see, that God would use you to make a difference. So before you go, we need to seek the Lord in prayer. You know, it's a work that is you go with your eyes open, with your spirit sensitive to the Lord's leading, you know. Right? But you would find that you would receive rejection. Okay. Verse 13 says, "If the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it." But verse 14 says, "And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart, shake off the dust of your feet." In other words, when they refuse God's grace, God's gifts, they are never wasted or lost. There will be others whom God will touch. And therefore, do not despair. Shake off the dust of your feet, right? And then carry on. Okay? They are not rejecting you. They are rejecting your Lord. You see, if you don't give the message, then the fire is on you. But if you have given that message and he rejects it, the fire is on him. Right? You have already done your part. Okay, we are rejected. We are a bit disappointed. Right? We face some kind of a scolding. Right? If you do that again, you can't do that. All this of threats. And our people have received this so-called rejections. But we must not be dismayed. Right? Because you are to expect it. Right? So here, the Lord says to you, whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or that city, shake off the dust. Shake off the dust of your feet. In other words, he's saying to us that you just carry on and prepare yourself to move on. In other words, you're not disturbed, you're not perturbed, you're not distressed, but you would seek to persevere in the work. Verse 15 says, verily I say unto you, it is more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. In other words, God is going to judge them, not you. You are doing your part to share with them already. Okay? And we have that responsibility. So, you know, if you don't use that time, that half an hour or so to give out, then that time will forever be lost, you know. Right? If none of us would do so, that time would be forever lost. But there will come a time, right, when we have been strengthened and nourished enough so that we are to be sent forth. So the Lord says to us, gives to us the divine mission, right? The divine mission, the divine mandate, that divine purpose. And then he says to us that he also gives us the divine capability. As you go, preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, verse 7. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out devils freely. Freely ye have received, freely give. In other words, God is using you to be his ambassador. You are empowered by the Spirit of God, by the power of God, for who you are, to share a blessing with someone. Right. And the Lord wants you to share that blessing with someone. Right. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, if Jesus will not send them forth, gather them and ask them to go two by two, then they would not have gone. They would just have continued to follow the Lord. But that was not the future. The future was that, right? They would be sent forth. Everyone would be useful for the Lord. That was how the Roman Empire was conquered. The Lord's power was with them. The power was given to them. And the empowering, the blessing will come to them. You will be blessed. As you sow the seed, you will be blessed. And the Lord wants to bless you by sending you forth. Right. So, there is power in the gospel message. Don't think, you know, now we are going in, you know, to, we are here sending, giving out around this area. Right. And we are making up a plan so that you can give out. So we will mark for you, okay, you can try this place. Right. And you go. We will send you forth and you go. Now, we do go to various blocks of flats, right? And you will find that you would be going, sending the gospel right into the house, right into the doorstep. Ah. But if you don't, who will? Right. And the blessing is yours, not mine. In a sense that as we begin this work, right, this work cannot continue. Just we doing the work alone, no, cannot. The pattern is that Jesus would send forth 12. So Jesus, one person, he sent forth how many? 12. So it's multiplied. How many times? 12 times. Then later on, he will send forth 70. Multiply how many times? 70 times. Right? As you grow, you make disciples. You influence lives. And then you are sent forth to make disciples. And it's about time we are sent forth to make disciples, to go out and share. Can we say we are afraid? Yes, we are afraid. We don't go out without just thinking that we are able. No. We have to overcome oftentimes ourselves, our own fear, our own lethargy, our own weakness, in order that we may share the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's how the power, the stronghold of Satan is broken through the gospel. So we are sent forth to do good, to proclaim glad tidings, to relieve those who are suffering. When you give the gospel, you are actually showing them the way out, you see, of their suffering, their problems. See, you are pointing the way. Then you gather them in. Gather them to the church. Gather them in. Then you, as you graft them in, and then you prepare them, you train them. Right? And God has enabled us in the last 5-6 years to gather a group, right, from zero, you know. From zero, the Lord allowed us to gather a group like that. Huh? Wow. We are amazed what God has done. But this group that is gathered must be sent forth. And you, God is going to use mightily. So, this sheep ought to be with the flock, but are far away. God is sending you forth. And God will give you His strength, His power. He says to you, right, freely ye have received, freely give. They are to do this work, not for any gain to themselves. Right? They would become very wealthy if they would charge the people for healing them. Imagine, right, you pay, then, you know, to be healed. Huh? Is that the way? Well, remember the person Simon who offered to buy this power? Do you think you can buy this power? Cannot buy this power. This power is from God. Right? Not to be bought. Cannot be bought. Right? Acts 8, verse 18. Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast taught that the gift of God may be purchased with money. They are to be free from the love of money. A price must not be tacked to do the work. And so here the Lord is saying to us, right, that we are to go and give this message and, well, spend and be spent. How to spend and be spent? Oh, it's a work that God will repay. God will repay. As you spend, God will repay. God is faithful. And you will experience the faithfulness of God. You said, I give, I still have. I remember the story of Colgate or Quaker Oat. Right? He began starting his Quaker Oat factory, right, with nothing. He was sick, a sick man. And then he began this work. He says that before I begin, I commit to the Lord that whatever I have, I will give 10% to the Lord. I will make sure that I return to God first. I always seek the Lord first. Then God began to bless this work of his, right, the Quaker Oat. Began to grow. Then he began to give 10%, 20%, 30%, 40%, 50%, 60%, 70%, 80%, 90%, and still he has plenty. Colgate, same thing. Never underestimate what God can do with your consecration. You see, God is not seeking your money, you know, but your heart. Would you be consecrated to him? And how he would multiply it so greatly for you. Right? Do they have any lack? Well, the Lord said to them, don't bring anything with you. Verse 9, provide neither gold nor silver, brass in your purses, nor scrip on your journey, neither two coats or shoes, and yet staves. For the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatever city ye enter, inquire who is worthy and abide there. A commissariat, we said, a divine commissariat. God will provide you the means. It's a military term to denote a department for the supply of food and equipment. The disciples were taught to trust God to provide for whatever they needed. You see, when you begin your Christian life, God also says to you that he will provide for you, right? He will help you. And so the disciples were told, don't bring anything with you. Just go. Okay? They were not to acquire gold or silver in their, and they are to travel and trust God to provide for their needs. Let the people give to provide for their needs. How important it is that we need to learn to be stripped of ourselves, and so that we can serve God. Right? If we will not, then we cannot go, you know. So the Lord wants us to go and trust God to take care of you. Wow. How much a blessing it is to trust that we have a faithful God who will take care of us? Do you have that faith that you, as you go, God send you forth? The seed that you sow is going to bear fruit. Do you have the faith to believe that God is going to use you? You know, what you send out, what you give, God is going to use to bless somebody. Do you believe that? Do you believe in the importance of that work? And the value of your contribution. Your contribution. The value of your contribution. And each one must contribute. If not, right, the gospel will not go out. Right, the commission is given to all. All would be energized. They all go. It's a bursting forth of energy. Right? And God has enabled the few to, in a sense, provide the catalyst to all of us so that we will be mindful and minded to know our work. And so the Lord says to, that He will enable, right? And the divine criterion or the divine method, the pattern, concentrate on efforts to those who are receptive to the gospel. Do not spend time on those who persist in resisting the gospel. Okay? Concentrate your efforts on those who are receptive to the gospel. Do not spend undue time on those who persist in resisting the gospel. And so, we are going to... we have drawn up these for you, all right? And I ask you to prayerfully come. Right? I'll just put them here. You can write down, right? And commit yourself for next year. Which week you can. Right? If you can't, you need to change later, fine. But, you know, make a commitment to start. Right? You have prepared lovingly for you so that you may begin. Now, this beginning is not just here, you know. It begins here. You learn, that's where the disciples learn the skills. You see? And then when the Lord sent them forth, later on the Lord says to them, bring your scrip, bring your purse, bring even a sword with you when you go out. Finally, when Jesus sent them forth, they are going to go forth and do the work themselves. Yeah. Bring the sword along. There will be danger. Yeah. So, I say to you that we have a new year, we have a new decade, and we have printed new invitation cards, new tracks, and I'm saying to you, go. Go. Sign up. Half an hour. Alright, just half an hour. Commit yourself to that half hour. Pray 2 times, 3 times, in this quarter, do it. And you would see, you would come face to face with fulfilling the Great Commission. Ah. And see how the Lord will change your mindset to understand the work and what is involved. Well, next week, we will continue to this Matthew chapter 15, and the Lord would show us when you go out what you would expect. Okay, so may the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, I pray that Thou would be merciful to guide us as we are sent forth with the gospel. May Thou use us for Thy own honor and glory. Energize us by thy grace. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.